Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Hello, my name is Mike, and today's show is brought to you by our Amazon page. Please remember to shop at MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon. It's quite simply the best way to support this show. If you need it, Amazon has it, and you can get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon. Bookmark it, please.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hold on just a second.
Okay.
Oh, no problem.
Here we go. Here we go.
Oh.
Oh, look who's here.
Hi.
What? Wow.
Excuse me?
Hi, this is Gene Simmons.
Hi, Gene.
I had a whole bit I was going to do. And then I didn't have, I had a button. My kid touched my machine. And
well,
so
Gene, as you know, he's older. Didn't. And it's sometimes hard to grab that knob. What Gene needs is to go from doorknobs to door handles.
Let Gene leave for leave for a second.
So long, Gene.
I'm going to need you to come back in. Here he comes. He's outside right now.
Come on in, Gene. Right in, please.
Hi, this is Gene Simmons. Recently, there was a crime committed at my house.
Oh, no.
The police raided my house and took computers. I'm not sure, but we are just horrified that this heinous crime took place in my house.
Thanks, Gene. Thank you. Does anybody know the crime that happened at Gene Simmons' house?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know?
I read the story.
Early in the weekend. What happened there? Happened to his house?
Is Shannon Tweed okay?
It was like a Subway situation. They found kiddie porn.
Oh, like a Jared thing?
Yeah, but the police...
But they're completely exonerated, right?
The police are very clear that they were not even in town when it happened. They're trying to figure out who was looking that up. Or
was it Peter Criss?
Or messing with it. Within
Paul Stanley?
Within the compound.
Or any of the other... Was it the star child, Mike?
No. No one in the family has been implicated. They've been exonerated.
Good. Why was he out of the house? Was he rock and rolling all night?
He was on tour.
Oh, okay. Very nice.
We'll be talking a lot about Ashley Madison today.
Hot topic in the suburban neighborhoods, Mike.
Lots going on.
They find your name?
Oh, no. Yeah. Not my name.
What are they doing?
Carla, you know... Carla is, they had the Fairfax Underground. I don't mention them very often on this show because they printed horrible, like Photoshop, terrible things. They have
it's a free
lazy,
world, Mike.
Lazy fat F segment.
Yes.
Yeah, easy for you to say. Just despicable, like really horrible stuff about everybody in radio, myself included. And I hate that place, but I guess they printed out for locals. The Virginia, Manassas, Fairfax, all those places, the list of people that had signed up for Ashley Madison.
And, I think that's nice that they've gone the extra step to be so helpful.
I've seen Mrs. O'Mara read before, but I've never seen her read that hard.
Really? Did she read aloud at all?
No, she did not read. Yes, at one point she did. We're not going to go any further than that.
You got your own highlight reel, eh?
You know, not for me, but it was, let's just say it was interesting.
I understand.
It was interesting because there was a name or two on there that we were acquainted with.
Well, you know, Mike, as you go through.
Two of them, actually. One that we were sort of acquainted with and the other one we knew.
As you go around the round world, Mike, you know, you run into a lot of people. You keep smelling your water bottle. Is everything okay?
It smells like pipe tobacco.
Oh. Have you gotten out the pipe again?
I don't understand why the top of this water bottle smells like pipe.
Have you been
I'm really not sure.
Dr. Grabo? Wasn't that the guy
might
that made all the
pipe,
pipes?
It might be something
Could
else.
Could you Let imagine he's making gravity bongs on his off time? We just don't know it.
It's true.
You know what? I'll tell you. At this stage of my life, with the week I've had, I'll tell you something. I would really... marijuana might be in the car.
Well, I tell you what. I'm going to go to Drug Fair, Mike, and go to that pipe display and buy you the big Sherlock Holmes pipe with the big curve on it. And
I smoke my... The e-cigar is my... tobacco / vape item of choice, the big regular e-cigar.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed those. I keep them in business down at the vape shop here in Ellsworth, Maine, and I've been doing very, very well with that. Thank you very much. So I don't
Good
need
man.
Anything
Look
more.
At that.
I don't pipes. You know, there might have been a phase that I went through. I think all men probably try a pipe once in their life. You know, some for substances, some for just regular pipe tobacco.
I try to stay off the pipe as much as I can.
Right.
Put you on the spot.
Yes.
Hypothetically, let's say hypothetically you had an Ashley Madison account, right?
Right.
And that list comes out and then your name pops up. What is your first defense?
I don't think anybody could ever have one, could you? I mean, there's just no way that you could have a defense. You just have to cop to it. No, it's right there. It's right there for you'd say you didn't use it.
The state's attorney.
You'd say you registered for it, right?
The state's attorney in Florida was busted.
Yes.
For
that's too funny. I shouldn't laugh because these are our fellow men with their active penises that are out there. But the fact is, it's funny. It's funny. Yeah.
So. And again, I don't have his exact title, but it might have been. Is it the state's attorney or is it Tallahassee state? It's whoever. Who knows?
Well, yeah, any state attorney,
you can get a state attorney.
Somebody
you know,
in government, right?
Right. Okay.
In Florida comes out and he gets ahead of it. I thought it was genius. He said, "My name is on there." And 2 years ago, when stories started coming out about the website, I wanted to find out more about it.
So God, the first guy to lie like that. That's funny.
So I signed up for the site, but I was never active on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, and that
he was keeping an eye on big prostitution.
Yeah, but they would know he's active because you see the exchanges.
Or was
but
he?
All of the, wait a minute. But all of those things, don't they normally, won't they normally do that if they... If they tell either their coworkers or certainly their spouse that I'm going to go on this website, you have the preemptive strike. You don't creep doing that if you're doing an investigation.
At one
you tell
time
people.
Years ago, we had the junkies had one of our friends, a guy that worked in the studio, and we were all there at the same time.
Right,
he was on Ashley Madison, and I remember in the studio we were going back and forth figuring out what the site was all about before it was actually kind of like to be on it.
In our line of work, people go on and it would be a badge of honor. Hey, I'm sorry on Ashley Madison. Yeah.
Woo! Yeah, but I think that's the only place you can kind of like get away with it if it's part of your job to create and go through, right?
Exactly. Yeah, but still, like if you're a big-time law enforcement guy, that would probably be a little dicey.
But if you're like a radio or television producer, you're like, I had to do a story on it.
Well, then you'd have to produce an air check saying that this is what I found in 2013.
If I saw that,
you didn't work in the building at 10800 Main Street back when it used to be known as Porn Central. I mean, didn't we have, Rob,
Travis.
Did we not have, okay, don't mention names.
Just the first name.
Okay, but we had a guy.
We
had a guy. Didn't work for our show, but he was so active that did he not slow down the network because he had so much porn on there?
He sort of worked for our show. Here's the deal. Is that he was our dump button guy for a long time.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so he did work for us.
And our great engineer.
The dump button, by the way, is if somebody would say a bad word that couldn't be broadcast, you have a 7-second delay. The dump, and he was very, very controversial for a while where they would dump us when we didn't need to be dumped, and they started editing the show that way, and we got very angry when we thought it was just bad words, and they were dumping it, but that's what Travis did.
And he had an office up in the second floor where it was just him, and a computer where he could, you know, dump anything that was deemed objectionable. But our great engineer, Dan Ryson, who is one of the best engineers we ever worked with, was running some specs on the computer performance of the building. Mm. And he noticed a decline in our internet speed from 3 till 7 p.m.
Oh my God.
Afternoon drive.
And who gets, of course, blamed immediately? It's us. We're
the talent, yeah.
No,
yeah.
Excuse me, we're not doing
You're
that.
You're doing
at
a
that
show.
Point, yeah. We were doing a show, and we were not online doing the show. We weren't. In fact, it was too early to be doing that. We didn't have the facilities.
So it turned out that he was spending some time with the Bang siblings, and it was doing. And it was a long enough time ago that I believe it wouldn't probably be the internet drain that it would be today.
But so
then it was a lot more, and it was slowing down the entire building.
The man that held the power to sink or swim your careers
and the radio station
yes. license
yes.
had a proclivity to watch adult programming during your show.
Well, was I that believe it pre- relaxed
Rob,
and
hold on,
centered
hold on.
Him.
Rob, hold on. Was that pre three levels, or was that when we just had one level?
No,
remember at one
would,
point
that was that have to be after because the levels were studio. Producer's room.
No. Travis did it before that because it went, and then after when we got into real trouble, they would have the studio where we would have a dump button.
Right.
Then the producer of our show had a dump button.
That's what you're talking about.
And
okay.
then the program director had a dump button.
Right. So,
they took the Travis out of the equation, right?
No, they added it. So I guess there was four of them.
Four
levels. Don't you remember?
Of...
Don't see. You want to know why he was a producer three times? Because he doesn't remember that.
The details.
We actually we did not. Travis did it when there was one dedicated guy that did it upstairs. Then when it got all screwed up, that's
after
when they put
Janet
like, we had 11 people pressing buttons for our show. That's the way it worked.
The way I remember it is that the bulk of the time we had four people.
Yeah, let me ask you this.
All right.
This will end this discussion.
All right.
Did you really care?
No.
It's the Michael Mara Show. You can listen to the Michael Mara Show at www.michaelmaraShow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Michael Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Pound for pound, Sugar Ray Robinson, the greatest fighter ever lived.
Oh, come on, man. What about Joe Louis?
The Blonde Bomber. Now, that was a great boxer.
You damn right.
I suppose nobody in here ever heard of Cassius Clay.
We got a point. Cassius Clay was a bad motherfucker.
What about Rocky Marciano?
There they go. Every time I start talking about boxing, a white man got to pull Rocky Marciano out their ass. That's day one. That's day one. Rocky Marciano. Rocky Marciano. Let me tell you something wonderful. Rocky Marciano was good. But compared to Joe Louis, Rocky Marciano ain't shit.
He beat Joe Louis's ass.
That's right. He did whoop Joe Louis' ass. Joe Louis was 75 years old when he fought.
I don't know how old he was, but he got an ass whooped.
Joe Louis had come out of retirement to fight Rocky Marciano. The man was 76 years old. Joe Louis always lied about his age. He lied about his age all the time. One time, Frank Sinatra comes out here and sat down in this chair. I said, Frank, you hang out with Joe Louis. Just between me and you, how old is Joe Louis? You know what Frank told me? He said, hey, Joe Louis 137 years old. 137 years old.
Oh, man, you ain't never meet no Frank Sinatra.
You. You and you.
Who's next?
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana.
And now, from his office chair, here's Mike.
We are coming to you live from the Cappy Fiber Studio in the heart of our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. On the air and online worldwide, the Mike O'Mara Show is a daily radio show and podcast with the greatest listeners on the planet because they get it if you're here.
You do too.
Our show today is brought to you by Vistaprint. I'm sorry, Vistaprint.
Vistaprint.
Vistaprint, thank you. I should know it by now. What if I told you an amazing way to promote your business for under $10? Would you listen to me? Would you pay attention? Would you do that? Of course you would. Right now, Vistaprint.com. 500 business cards for $9.99. Think about what you spend $9.99 on an average day.
Yes.
Think about going to your local fast food restaurant today. You can burn through a 10 spot at a McDonald's or a Burger King in a nanosecond now. If you've got a family, it'll be even more than that. So why not spend that $10 on something that's going to really help your business with business cards at Vistaprint for $9.99 when you enter our promo code TMOS at checkout. That's $9.99. 500 business cards, the best deal out there. I love this deal because it really is something that they do because they are big and they can. And I love them for it because I've used business cards from Vistaprint. Everybody on the show uses Vistaprint cards. We love them. We make them. And they're user-friendly at the site. I hand out my TMOS cards all the time. We love Vistaprint. We want you to try them. So the special offer, just remember this, use our code TMOS at Vistaprint.com and get 500 business cards for $9.99. That's a 50% savings. And remember, satisfaction guaranteed. If you're not happy, they'll make it right. Vistaprint.com, TMOS. Don't wait. Go to Vistaprint.com and order yours today. Yes, sirree. So happy weekend, everybody.
Yes, it's welcome back.
Monday. Yay. Bull. Did everybody enjoy the weekend?
Great weekend, yeah.
Jam-packed.
Mine was chock full. Mine was chock full, including neighbors, getting together with the neighbors up here, which we've wanted to do for quite some time.
Sweet.
And want to say a nice little shout-out to our friends Tara and Jesse, who had us over to their real main house for dinner. And wow. I mean, it was the most enlightening thing. I used to think that I was raised in a rural community.
Right.
I used to think that I knew about the fields and picking tobacco and all that good stuff. Well, they've got it all over me. I swear to God, this was one of the most amazing evenings I had, simply because they had, in a little area of the world up here in Maine, I shouldn't say a little area, they got lots of land, but they grow everything. And this is not like your grandmother's little herb garden, okay?
Right, right.
This is a fully functioning garden where they grew every kind of vegetable you could possibly imagine. The guy's got his degree in agronomy and all that. So
okay.
he knows all about how to do this. And by the time I left, Carla was on cloud nine, because Carla loves this fresh stuff. You probably saw, if you saw her Facebook page, you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
She was going crazy with the fresh stuff, including fresh, like, day right out of the garden that evening. We cooked it the next day. Garlic. Let me tell you something. You haven't,
now, you wouldn't
you
think garlic,
garlic
would make a difference if it's fresh, because, you know, it sits on the shelf forever.
You obviously can sit on the shelf, but it was kind of cool having it that fresh. It was interesting. It was something different.
You've talked to us about people up there when you're in Maine, and most of the people you seem, the people of Maine.
Yes.
You talk about mostly people that you've known much of your life. Are these new acquaintances?
No, we're the takers. We're the takers. Everybody I know comes in, swarms in, just like the old people in Florida. Swarms
from
in
away.
Like locusts. Yes, from away.
You are from away.
From away, they come down. It's like, then they land on the area, and they go.
Yes, they eat all the garlic, and they fly away.
No, they fly back. Away. I'm becoming.
They drain the area of natural resources.
Yes,
and they
do.
You're
yes, they do.
Strip mining the garlic fields.
Right. They send their poo into the groundwater, and then they fly away back to their cities, and only to come up for a short period of time.
And then they're off on another Charlie adventure.
Look, I know. How did you mean that?
Jesse is a fella, and Tara is a lady, I'm guessing, right?
Jesse is a friend. Da, 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 da. They're really the relationship. Relationship started with Carla last year.
Okay.
And then they were the first night I had people over to the house up here. They were taking a walk, and I invited them over, and we started chatting. And they're very, very nice people. And Carla and Tara are very, very good friends. And Jesse and I get along really well. But we are night and day, because this man, I'm sure, he'd never tell you because he's a modest guy.
Right.
But he is more than capable of, like, waxing me in anything handy. I mean, the guy built his own house with his own hands, with his own. He's finished a lot of it with his own lumber that he makes in his own sawmill. Tell me that doesn't shrink your penis when you hear it.
How
I mean,
old is
really?
This guy?
Huh?
How old is this guy?
He's 104. Rob. Of course, that's the thing.
He came
no,
up
they've got what
the trail of tears.
One of the things they have in common is that they got a little guy. They got a 4-year-old. So
okay,
right. Michael plays with him, and that's the. So he's much younger. As all fathers of 4-year-olds are.
Are all of their kids' toys handmade, and yours are from Amazon?
Is his toy an intricate little train made of hand-hewed
pine?
No,
it's not a hand. No, it's not like Owen Wilson in Meet the Parents. It's not that.
Are the Lincoln logs really Lincoln logs?
No, they're not. No,
every log made from one tree.
Okay, all right, I get it. The young man had quite a collection of store-bought toys, so so he had a very nice little toy box, and Michael, you know, and it like. Every little boy, it's all
box?
Trucks. Pardon me?
Did he build the toy box?
Yeah, I don't know, Rob. I don't know if he built the toy box.
Really early age.
It's all tongue and groove, no nails.
I'm trying to talk about the garden, okay?
Oh, excuse us. Yes.
They've also had, they have their own chicken coop. Which is pretty
cool.
Oh, I
told you about chicken coops.
Yeah.
Yes.
What about chicken coops?
I said you can get them down here, and I'm sure you could have one in Florida if you want.
Yeah, but I mean, I live in two different places, and I'm not here to
maybe
know, to take care of my chickens.
Maybe Travis can take care of your chickens while you're away.
Yeah.
Who's Travis?
No, Jesse.
Jesse. I'm Jesse. Sorry.
It's Jesse.
Oh.
You're doing so much shtick. You're
button.
Doing so much goddamn shtick, I can't. You're not even remembering the name of the person I had dinner with.
I'm sorry.
God's
Travis
sake.
Was your porn guy. Jesse is your neighbor.
Travis was the guy we worked with in the 1980s, 90s, that did the porn thing. Jesus. But it was, you know what? It was just pure admiration the whole time. It started out, we had, now the chicken that they had did not come from their chicken coop because that's where they get their eggs.
Ah.
So we had store-bought chicken. But that was it. We had zucchini that was grilled. We had a salad that was made with their own lettuce. We had all sorts of, and their own garlic from the garden. And then afterwards, he made his own hard cider. It was fantastic.
Wow.
Yeah, it was great. It was like
nice.
Really. And then Carla takes a walk into this lady's garden, and we came home with this giant bag of stuff, and Carla went out of her mind cooking this stuff, like zucchini and squash and
That's
all this
cool.
wonderful stuff. And it was. I admire it. I admire people that really do this.
It's wonderful.
You know, it's not something that I
And it's
do.
Next door.
No, Mike, it's
literally
like,
across the street. Yes.
Really what it is, it's like a pickup truck. You don't want to own a pickup truck. Mm-hmm. You want to know
so
someone
true.
Who has a pickup
so
truck.
True.
Right.
He's
so exactly.
your pickup truck.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you know what? You can say, hey, Travis, I ran out of garlic.
It's Jesse. It's Jesse, God damn it, Rob. God damn you to hell, Rob.
Did you do
Oh, that seems intense.
Did you do it? Because it's usually a trade-off, a give and take, right?
Right, right.
Did
exactly.
you do impressions for Jesse?
Oh, for bartering.
Yeah, oh, that right. would be so great. Okay. You could say, here's what it would sound like if James Garner got a zucchini.
Please. That would be awesome.
Okay. All right. Well, how did he do? Boy, that's the best radish you'll think I've ever had. Well, Tara, if your lettuce tastes this good, I'd hate to see what anybody else trying to compete with you does.
Yeah, you see, it's old school.
Boy, I'll tell you, these
are
the best farm fresh eggs I've ever had, right from the back. Keep talking, Rob. That's right from the back of the lot. Yes, sir. Absolutely delicious.
What if Jesse said, "Look, Mike, I really my all time favorite movie, Shawshank Redemption. Where would you go with that?"
Oh, I might as well have fingers get the music. It'll probably take now that I want him to do something, he won't do it. So let's see what happens.
Yeah, because I'm a total screw up.
Mike, I know. Let's go.
I really love that movie. Let me tell you,
The Shawshank. This is Jesse talking.
I've
to
got
me.
It on DVD and VHS.
What a fine time sitting on the patio, enjoying all of this fresh produce from your garden. I'm stunned. The skills and the time. That must be invented to make a meal like this from your self-sustaining garden. I notice there's a blueberry patch over to the right, a chicken coop in the back, a sawmill down on the property to make wood, to make the fires. Well, I guess they don't use it for fire. I don't know what they use it for.
When they mess up, they do.
What a delicious, delicious dinner this is. Blueberry patch, radishes, lettuce, carrots, fresh potatoes from the garden, and an orchard, so when the fall harvest comes in, we'll be able to eat our own homemade apples. Yes. Or God-made apples. I don't know. Jesse Dufresne, what a delicious garden you have. Well, it's actually your wife that does most of the work in the garden. Thank you very much. But no, it was just highly impressive to me. Highly impressive that people can do that.
Can you explain to me the sawmill?
The sawmill is... There's timber, you know, when you come up to the wilds
Yo-ho.
Of Maine, you'll notice a lot of, yo-ho! You guys went to the Tim Bertina show.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
There's a lot of logging that goes on in the great state of Maine, and you'll notice that my place up here, we call Piney Knot.
Yes.
And,
thank you. So a lot of the wood up here is from the Maine woods. This house that I'm living in now, the ceiling, the floors, a lot of the walls here are piney knot, knotty pine. So that's why you make your own wood, and then you treat it, and you put it in your house. Rob's just waiting to do shtick. Your head's shaking. You look like Rodney in Caddyshack.
What I'm trying to envision,
yeah,
though.
What's that all about, huh? Yeah, how can I say something to diminish and make fun of this?
You know? No, I mean,
it's amazing. He has a sawmill because he makes his own home. He makes his own lumber.
Is it run by a big belt-driven engine with a huge blade?
That's for another visit. I didn't get a chance to see the sawmill.
Oh, okay.
You know?
All right.
I didn't get a chance to... And then, you know, you're like my brother-in-law. See, first thing, smirk on his face is, did he have a wood chipper?
Yeah, okay.
Let's do a seat out of Fargo. That's what we want. You know, it was
very
just,
cool.
It was impressive. And eating this food over the weekend, which we did a lot, it just made me think about how great it was. And it tempered my attitude towards it didn't temper, it actually exacerbated an attitude that I have towards the locusts up here, because I was I was on my own yesterday, and Carla let me go out and get a lobster roll, and my brother-in-law had told me that there was a great lobster roll way, way up the coast on a dock at this place called Korea, which is Korea by the sea, the sea. Remember that place?
You
right?
took me there. You actually go through
took
Korea to get to Skudik, which is...
Skudik,
forgive me.
And I don't understand the name or why it got the name, especially with the conflict going on now, but it was great. But after having this dinner with this guy that cooks his own food, and then seeing all the locusts around, I already am one of the white-haired, one of the blue-haired, but it was just chock-a-block with blue hairs, and blue hairs at lunch. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Have you been in the restaurants when the blue hairs are? And sometimes they don't bother me, but for some particular reason, you know, you can get a person, and Carla explained this to me, you can get this old person that will stand there and manage to be not all that large a person, but will stand in a spot where they have successfully put themselves in the way of everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And we've all gone
does
through that.
Does spatial awareness leave you as you get older?
Mm-hmm.
It yes, does. Does that happen? Especially for men. Especially
okay,
yeah,
for my men. My dad's always in the way. God yeah, bless
him. It's
always.
Just always. It's
when and, he's in town.
Right.
Yes.
Wide, super wide women from 45 on up, they do it, and old men from 55 on yeah. up, they do it. Well, they do it too. Where they will stand in the wrong. Yeah. They'll stand in the wrong spot.
He will stand in front of the television. He will stand in right. the walkway, and we will be yeah. like, "Dad." Hello, we're all yeah. carrying things inside.
I'll explain. Let me. I can give you a detailed explanation of how this
Maybe
works.
Maybe that's why
okay?
he leaves all the time.
There is a food stand on a dock.
Yes. Okay,
and it is a little shack, and like many places up here, and it's on the side, and then you have you if you face it, you would take a right, and you would walk out to the little dock where they have a seating area.
All right,
all right. So you're standing there, and there's probably about an 8 foot wide area. Narrow little walkway between the street and the food stand, and then you open up onto the dock. So a little 8 foot area, and there's a guy that comes in, greets everybody, and he's got this in his voice. He's got this sound in his voice.
Oh,
it sounds like he's got a loogie in his voice, and he's not clearing his throat. So he says, "How's the first chowder today?" And he's standing 4 feet from the little hole where the lady's taking his order. So he's 4 feet away for three of us other people that are waiting there, and he has not moved up to the front because then he would, I guess, affect his little view. So instead of doing what they have, which is a goddamn counter where
yes.
you put your elbows and you walk up 2 inches from the person to order your food, he's standing by and he's shouting this. He said, "And I'll pay extra if you put more fish in it." And at that point, I wanted to stab him in the back of the head with a screwdriver.
Wow.
I swear to God. It was dry. It pissed me off that much. And he stands, because he was standing 3 feet from this counter, he has effectively blocked everybody else. We're all kind of pushed mm-hmm. up
he's
against the
back.
He's taking
up half the room.
Yes. And first world problems, but it's pissed me off.
A lot of times
when
you see a person in this situation, it's usually an older man. He's dissatisfied with whatever's going on. So
right.
he's not going to cede any of his land. And
exactly.
I found they often take their glasses and put them on their heads.
Sure.
When he's complaining. Like, I don't know what's going on and why my reservation isn't ready. And I don't know.
And see, there I am doing the same thing
he's
is.
Like,
but the fact
why
is, but
is
I'm looking at this guy and I'm going, two nights ago I was sitting at a guy's house that makes his own vegetables.
Yeah.
Grows his stuff, has his own chickens, slaughters his own hogs. I didn't mention that, did I?
Oh,
his
does he?
Own hogs?
Yes, jeez. Own hogs. Amen.
You gotten some fresh bacon?
No, they don't have hogs this year. So just the chickens this year. But thanks for asking. I appreciate that. But thank you. Other than that, a fabulous weekend in May.
Just running
we'll
a slight temperature.
We'll take a break. Come back with more. This is the Mike O'Mara Show.
Tony and Gary.
Hey there, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Tony Perkins.
And I'm Gary Stein.
On this week's edition of our show, we regale you with stories of our summer vacation.
You've never said regale before.
I've never said it before, but these stories are really, really funny. Also, some brand new music that I guarantee you are going to love.
That's right.
Check it out on the Tony Perkins Show, TonyPerkinsShow.com. Subscribe on iTunes and download the free new Tony Perkins Show app.
The Tony Perkins Show.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Now available, Open Mic, the audiobook. I was talking to my sister just the other night, and we had a couple of people that were sitting around, and I explained that Kathy was the meanest person in the book and that I did the impression of her voice. And then, of course, she said, "Well, how does that sound?" And I said, "Well, it sounds like this." And much hilarity ensued. Let's listen to a clip from the audiobook, Open Mic, our little book that we turned into an audiobook for you because you demanded it. What do we have this week, Rob?
Today, there's a lot of funny stuff in the book, but there is some sincerity, too. And something that we all agree on, the three of us, is how much we really do love our jobs. Every day I get to do something I love for a living. I get paid to crack jokes and be a pain in the ass. You know what they say? Find something you love doing and you'll never work a day in your life. Well, I went to school with people who are doctors and lawyers, and some of them hate their jobs, even if they do make a lot of money. I don't. I still get excited every day.
That's cool.
That's sweet.
That's very sweet. Great in the car, at home, on the beach. Not particularly funny, but it was sweet.
As I said, Mike, sincerity. Sometimes it's sincere.
Great in the car, at home, on the beach, and all summer long. Download the fun because fun is the best thing to have. Only $6.99 and now available. You're still letting me know you're buying this,
yes.
And I appreciate that. Download it instantly on iTunes at MichaelMaraShow.com. Open Mike the audiobook. You're going to love what you hear. A couple of things I wanted to mention from the weekend also that everybody was reacting to. I call this kind of the good and the bad of the internet. I truly enjoyed reading about the three heroes in Europe that subdued this potential disaster-causing terrorist. Yeah. And I think he was a terrorist, even though he's lawyered up already and the lawyers claim he's not. But the three American soldiers that wrestled the guy to the ground, got the weapon away from him, knocked him unconscious, and probably saved many, many lives in the process, and they're getting all the credit that they deserve. And, you know, a lot of people were reposting stories about this. I didn't find one until yesterday that I really wanted to share, but I never tire of it. I don't get tired of reading about these guys because they truly are special.
Yep.
And they're special in the fact that they're average American soldiers that just did something absolutely extraordinary. And the more I learn about them, the more you see where they come from and just the kind of parents they have.
Do you have more detail of what exactly happened? Because a lot of people listening right now might not know.
Okay, well, the fact is these particular soldiers were traveling, I think, they're traveling in France when this happened, and they were on a train in France.
Yeah.
They heard a shot, and the shot rang out, and they got to this guy who apparently was having a gun jam with his AK-47, and they tackled him when they did that. Three guys. Let me get their names.
I actually have their names, Mike. It's Alex Scarlatus, Anthony Sadler, and Spencer Stone. And sometimes best to hear it from their mouths. If you want to hear, here's Spencer Stone. He was the one who was injured during the subduing of the terrorist. And this is what he said what happened.
Ran down, tackled him. We hit the ground. Alec came up and grabbed the gun out of his hand while I put him in a chokehold. It seemed like he just kept pulling more weapons left and right, pulled out a handgun. Alec took that, took out a box cutter, started jabbing at me with that. We let go. All three of us started punching him while he's in the middle of us. And then I was able to grab him again and choke him unconscious.
Wow.
And you know what? One of them was woken up from a sleep. He was in a deep sleep, heard the shot, and his friend said, let's go, and that's all he needed.
If you haven't been, you know, and if you're not familiar with this story, a lot of people on vacation not paying attention to this type of stuff, but this is the stuff that that I love to share.
Man.
Spencer Stone was an off-duty U.S. airman. He ran 10 meters to hold gunman Ayub El-Khazan in a chokehold, even while he was stabbed in the thumb with a box cutter. Alex Scarlatos is 22. He's a member of Oregon's National Guard. He ran to the gunman with Stone and grabbed the weapons out of his hands. Anthony Sadler is a 23-year-old student and friend of Stone and Scarlatos. He jumped into the action when the gunman appeared and filmed the aftermath. A lot of you may have seen that video that went on there. Mark Mugalian is a 51-year-old American-born professor. He was shot in the neck when he wrestled the Kalashnikov assault rifle from the gunman. He didn't get a lot of the credit. When this came out, initially you said his throat was slit, and it wasn't. It was he was shot in the throat because he was being a hero as well. Chris Norman is a British IT consultant and grandfather. Said he was convinced he would be shot when he got involved. I'd rather die being active, trying to get him down. And a 28-year-old French banker known only as Damien A. was the first person to tackle the gunman, but does not want to be named. So that's the real story with everybody involved. Mm. But just these three Americans that did this, and really just a great story, a really, really wonderful story. And I wish that that we would just come together on stuff like this and stay together, but we don't. I wrote some nice things about President Carter over the weekend, just how I really thought he was a great humanitarian because he wants to take this cause that he has been celebrating, the guinea worm, which is this horrible pestilence they have over in Africa, and he wants to eradicate this because it's causing all sorts of havoc in Africa, and put a few nice things up about President Carter, and people just can't keep it in their pants. People that I don't know, you know, I post a comment, it gets shared by a couple of people, and then people I don't know jump on a thread, and I just don't think that that's the time to say, good guy, horrible president.
I just, you know, I don't, I'm trying so hard not to jump into that fray anymore, because the people, I really do believe the people that do that are not worthy of my response.
True.
So I don't involve myself in it as much as I used to. But it just, it's weird that I get a sense that on both the left and the right, that we have fallen into this brainwashed attitude where there's no merit anymore. It's your team, it's my team, and anybody that disagrees is the Antichrist, no matter what. There, you know, here's a former president, regardless of whether you approved of his job or not, a former president who is suffering from brain cancer. And, you know, if this was, I can say this for myself, if this was somebody that I disagreed with politically, I would say kind things, if nothing. I would not get on there
right.
and just say, when a guy get, what kind of brainwashing is required for somebody who's at the end of his life anyway, he's 90 years old and has brain cancer, and you've got to pop in there an attitude about, one lady called, well, I'll give you my post, and
because
it was very, very brief, and one lady called my post pathetic.
What?
And I'm not really sure what kind of mind.
Was it Carla?
It was not Carla. It was not Carla. It was just very, very strange that that somebody would do this, you know? I got on there, and I was very, very moved by what he was doing. I said, a very good man, an example of human dignity and decency in a world that needs more of both. And the article I shared was Jimmy Carter dying of cancer. He has one last goal, and that was to take care of this other cause that has nothing to do with his malady at the time.
Right, right.
He's just trying to do what he's done since he got out of office. And, yeah, a lady wrote pathetic.
Yeah,
you talk about kicking someone when they're down, and it's a society that loves to pile on.
Maybe she meant patriot.
Yeah, do you think it was spell check?
Oh, she was
well,
on
I
the
sent
phone.
Her a personal. I sent her a personal message. Let me
Siri.
See if she got back to me. No, she never got back.
Siri will murder you every day. Autocorrect.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I don't know why people do this, but they do it, and they do it a lot. And has it gotten worse? I think it has.
I think it has.
I think it has because
you know what? It's a you versus me mentality, mm-hmm. and sometimes they just can't let it go.
When people put anything political up, whether it's to the left or the right, I just hit hide on my timeline.
Yeah, but you know what? I really don't think, Mike, I don't think that was a political post.
No, he was being a nice guy. Yeah. Mike was being a nice, caring man. The man's got brain cancer. He's done a lot, as you said, Rob, a lot more good than we'll ever do in our lives and impacted so many millions of people.
Well, I genuinely feel he has invented the modern role of the ex-president.
Yes.
I don't think any ex-president before him has ever used their power for so much good. And, Mike, you mentioned...
Overwhelming majority, I should say, of almost... And, wow, this is one of my all-time biggies. One of about 1,000 likes.
Hey, oh, wow.
And I will tell
Must
you that...
Must be nice.
I get
like 100 likes. I'm like, yes, people love me. Mike's like, 1,000. That's when it really matters.
Drop of a hat.
That's when I like it when he does that. It goes right to my ego, and I really enjoy it when Oscar says that. That helps me very much. Yeah. Puts me in a good mood. That's where my egomania is actually really. I got 1,000.
I got on Instagram. I have 1,000 followers.
When I put that up nothing. There, I rarely put a post up with the desire to see how many likes I can get, but I certainly pay attention when I get them because, you know, it's kind of cool when you see a lot
it
of people
is.
That
yes,
are...
Yes, you're famous. You know, you're loved. We
know. We're all needy. We're
not all needy. Of us.
Oh, yeah. No, but you're needy enough to bring it up.
Well, so. Because he's got 1,000, and that's his... Look, we all have our highs and lows, right?
Sure, sure.
My high is I'm lucky. If Mac doesn't drop something during the show.
That's right.
Come on, Mac. We're doing a broadcast here, for Christ's sake.
Act like a professional.
God damn it. Act.
So my high is really, 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 I would say tops 300. I'm like right. flying high. People love me.
Well,
They're
you have 5,000 friends, don't you?
Yes. Again, 300. You get 1,000
well,
likes.
But you got the same amount of friends that I have.
That's the point, Mike.
But, Mike, if this...
That's the point.
With that statistic in front of you, if you get that kind of return and he gets that kind of return,
yeah.
are they really his friends?
You are a blue chip stock.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what China does. You're always moving.
Yeah. He doesn't need an adjustment day.
No, yeah.
Okay, no so this one guy writes life. This. This one guy... Right in this, he says, you live a like this with the longevity misspelled, and you are not a Christian, you are a fool.
Oh, man. If you're not a Christian, you're a fool.
You're a fool.
He's actually a Christian that's saying if you're not a Christian, you're a fool.
Read it again in context.
But then he wrote something nice about it. I'm totally confused.
Yeah, he's
talk
actually,
about not getting cheated in the game of life. Most people retire and their quiet life is gone. Should be no fear moving forward. It's just sentence fragments in there. I don't know.
Sometimes, Mike, people like writing and not thinking.
Yeah.
It's, you know.
You should look. The 1,000 should be your index, though. That's it. The 1,000 likes. Forget about the comments.
Then this guy, Patrick McDonald, is a decent man. Too bad he was such a failure as president.
Well, I mean, that is an accurate statement, but not the time or place.
Yeah, time and place. And it's not exactly a failed presidency.
I mean,
yeah, no, it's,
even in history class,
will judge
I remember
history will judge that. You know.
People would say this is a non- Like, this is a non-impactful. I remember being in class and my teacher saying that, out of all the presidents at that time going into Clinton.
Right.
In history class being like, Carter, you don't really worry about him. Just move forward.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's not being a failure.
If he had rescued the hostages, that would have changed his presidency.
Absolutely.
That's how simple it would have been. But, you know, it's just strange that some people really, really.
1,000 likes, Mike. That's all that matters. Keep them coming. Tell me what I should write about me that's going to bring that type of
What you probably action. Should do is just start sharing Mike's posts.
You know what? That's what I'm going to do.
Well, thanks to all of you that mostly said nice things about President Carter in his time of need, and I thought that was sweet. And for the other people, pound sand, lick it. Lick it good. S&D. We'll take a break. Come back more than Mike and Mary Show.
I will walk 10 miles on my
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Whoa. I want to tell you about Touch of Modern, and I want to show you my watch.
Oh, your watch came in.
Look at that. Nice.
This is my Trazer, T-R-A-S-E-R watch. You don't need to go out and get the watch that I get. This is the Officer Pro. The main reason that I bought this at touchofmodern.com is because they talk about the nighttime illumination. This is used by police departments internationally, and I will tell you that the cool thing about this particular watch is they talk about its illumination in the middle of the night.
Right.
I am a very, very passionate watch checker when it's dark, and I like to see what time it is if I open my peepers. So this is the best one. They advertised it on touchofmodern.com because they got so many different cool watches there. They've got vintage watches. They've got new watches. They've got new technology. They've got lighting. They've got modern wear. They've got great stuff. It's touchofmodern.com, one of the best websites I've ever seen, one of my favorite advertisers that we've ever had on the Mike O'Mara Show, and they told the truth as well because this thing is so bright. And how many people say, hey, it illuminates at night when it really doesn't illuminate
right,
at night?
Exactly.
You really can't see it. This one, different. This works.
That
it actually
is so
does.
Cool.
Truth.
Touch of Modern connects directly with top designers. They've got great stuff. New sales launching literally every day. Right now, our listeners can get immediate access when they sign up at touchofmodern.com. That's touchofmodern.com. Do it today because tomorrow it'll be different. They change it every single day. Great website to surf. That's how life rolls in the fast lane. touchofmodern.com. Please check them out. And I love this, but I will tell you one thing.
What?
This was for a large-wristed man here, too. This is, I mean, if you're somebody with a fat wrist,
yes.
You should buy this watch, too. You're the size of that. But
whoa.
Here we go. Ready?
One
Ready?
Size fits all. That is cool.
Nice.
Nice.
Hey, Mike, if anything says officer, do you get it?
This is not a squirrel purchase. I swear to God,
this is
a
light
not a squirrel
purchase.
He said law enforcement.
Yes, but it is a. Yeah. It lights up. You see.
No, I think the watch is a great idea. But remember, he bought the Skechers because because officers.
I bought the Skechers because I was going on a ride along with Officer Meg. That's
yeah,
why
yeah,
I bought
I remember
the
that.
Skechers. You know, and
when you found the watch, did you buy it because did you first drawn to it because of the illumination or it's because of the word officer?
Officer.
I probably bought it because of a combination of both, to be
all
perfectly
right.
honest
right.
with you. I thought it was kind of cool. Usually when people get police issued stuff, they get pretty good equipment.
Yes.
You know? So that was the main reason that I
things
did
that last.
And
yeah.
I liked it
that
all.
Makes sense.
So Rob Spiewak had an excursion. He had a field trip over the weekend.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Rob Spiewak. It was Rob Spiewak's Symphony Delight. Now last year you screwed up big time. Did you screw up again this year? did you have a perfect
No, actually,
drawing?
We did better this year. And Jim Villani, who is the maestro, the director of the Manassas Good Symphony man. Orchestra, who sends his love. He's a big fan of the show. He reminded me of the joke that got me booed last yeah. year. I said it was something political, but I couldn't recall what it was. And they were last year doing a medley from the Disney movie Frozen. And
Rob's,
I said,
Rob's joke yesterday was like, hey, how about that Jimmy Carter, huh? He's got brain cancer, but he's been a cancer on the country.
And Mike and Manassas, they went, Yeah, you tell him. But they did a medley from last year from the movie Frozen. And I said, and now a sweet saluting Governor McDonald's assets. Because it was right when they had frozen all his
that's
money.
That's actually pretty funny.
And that got booed.
That's
that
pretty
got
funny.
Genuine boo.
Pretty well, funny, though, and witty.
Well, yeah. Well, a pretty nice little effort, Mort Saul. You know, it's just a, you know. Maybe not necessarily your point of view. You know what? Did you ever think about? We've been in this business. Some say we are comedians of a certain level.
It has been said.
And they always talk about point of view.
Yeah.
You know, for example, Patton has a wonderful semi-political point of view.
Yes.
But he peppers it with his own personal stories about being kind of a nerdy, shut-in kind of kid uh-huh. and all that. And he's got just a great point of view. And that's what makes Patton a brilliant comedian. George Carlin had his point of view, which mm-hmm. was social commentary and language and words and wonderful. Jerry Seinfeld, everyday life. Louis C.K., everyday life. Kind of brilliant point of views. Yeah. Chris Rock, a tremendous point of view from the African-American experience, and did so better than anybody I've ever seen do it before. If you were doing stand-up, what do you think your point of view would be?
You know, I don't want to try and liken myself to such a great comic, but I would say a non-political point of view.
In the 1950s?
Now, did he even ask you?
Settle down, point of view. A safe, non-political point of view when we all came back from World War II.
Well, you know, Mike, but I'm saying, if you're talking about a stand-up point of view,
yes.
I would say that it is close to what Johnny Carson tried to bring to his monologue, which is
non-political, but
taking on all people in authority, regardless
right.
of their outlook.
Right. See,
and,
I think
you know, sometimes
I would,
can be
I would write your point of view differently. I would say your point of view should be, you're funniest when you tell stories about your kids. When you go the Louis C.K. route, you don't even know how funny you are when you do that. When you tell a story about Robert doing something or Julia stealing a computer, that is when you do shticky shecky stick, like it's not you. When you do real Rob stuff, which is your family and
right.
you know and how frustrated you get with your wife taking naps, maybe I should tell
kills.
You that more often.
Yeah, you
that's
should tell
the killer.
Them that.
That's the killer
oh,
stuff.
Nice.
That,
okay,
that,
well, I see
you
what
do.
You mean.
And I think everything else is hacky.
Well, you know what? When I mention my kids, I seldom get booed. So I guess you're right. And he would know.
Right. You know, so if you had opened last year with a joke, instead of doing a political joke that Jay Leno would do, because I think that joke makes you feel good, but it might not go over with the audience because they're looking at you and, you know, I would say that probably would not be.
They don't have context of who you are at that, especially for an audience like that.
That's true. Right. And you know what?
I think thought it was funny though.
As the person that's doing it is trying to sort of marry yourself to the material,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because you know what? I'm not, and I said this yesterday to the audience. I said, now this may shock you, but I have never been a member of a symphony orchestra. And then, you know, they just total crickets. And I realized,
right.
oh my God, they really don't have any idea about me
yeah.
at all. Because
or
if you
do
know
it all
me
over
and
the
I
lot.
Say
all
that,
over the
yeah.
lot. Because you were at the Harris Pavilion right in the middle of Old
right.
Town Manassas.
Skating rink, right?
So I know the type of crowd that you drew for a symphony concert
right.
on that afternoon. So
yeah.
I think if I came out, I would be all over the place. I wouldn't take a point of view. Because it wouldn't matter in that audience, but it would sound something like this. All right,
hi. How you doing? Hold on, let me turn this up here.
Oh, Mike, it would
Thank
be
you.
If you have a different effect. Go. Do you have a microphone that cuts in and out?
How you doing, everybody? Is this thing on?
Closer.
Okay. Welcome to the Harris Pavilion. How you all doing? Okay. How many pairs of Dependent Ireland garments do we have out here right now? How many people actually are incontinent? Can we have a show of hands? Ma'am? Come on, ma'am. You're not telling the truth. You look like you can hardly walk, much less hold your own bladder. Oh, boy. Well, welcome to the Harris Pavilion, not four short blocks away from Georgetown South. How many? Donald Trump is over there as we speak right now, rounding up illegals, okay? Yeah, fantastic job. You look fantastic.
They would have eaten that up.
Listen, has anybody got any used tires here in Manassas? It's the capital of Yantas Usadas. Fantastic stuff. How you doing? That's great. Okay. Oh, hey. Well, hello, young lady. Aren't you attracted? You here with your parents? Okay, you haven't started doing crystal meth yet, have you? It's a great town. It's a great town. But for all you classical music enthusiasts, and I'm really surprised that we have any of you here because the average education level is a sixth grade education here in this fine town. How y'all doing today?
Am I right, ladies?
Yeah, that's great. That's great. You're all such a really nice group of people. Okay. Oh, well, F you. Well, F you. You want to hear the band come on? Oh, yeah, it's not a band. It's an orchestra. Lick it, sir. Lick my bag. Lick my bag. Rob Spiewak will be up here momentarily. Thank you very much.
It's almost like you were there, Mike.
Did it go anything like that?
No, actually, it went pretty well. There was a couple odd curveballs. I did mention the sound system. They had a mic for me and a mic for Mr. Villani, the maestro. And The mic they gave me, I went out and I said, "Good, buddy, come to the pavilion." And it was
pissed
just
me off. Did you check the mic before you did?
Yes,
that?
We did. We did okay. Check the mic, and it did
you
check
had a
out.
Mic check?
I think what it was is that it was when I spoke to the fellow after the first break. He said,
"Who was doing the audio?"
I forget the gentleman's name, but okay. It's certainly a great hobby for him.
I remember the audio when some of our bad shows when the audio was done really, really bad. You know, yeah. I mean, it was tough. I mean, that guy, I don't know what he's doing now. Probably can't even get arrested.
So, anyways, am I right, ladies?
Sorry.
I want to hear you.
I'm sorry.
So can't we went, it. We switched to the second mic after
O'Mara.
I said, did my mic seem to be cutting out? And he said, it might have been a bit in and out. And at that point, I feel my phone buzz in my pocket. And I pick it up. And my mom, who was in the audience, she texts me. She says, "Can they get you a better mic?"
Now, so you're done, though, at this point, right?
No, this is just after the first open. I've just done one segment.
Give us a little of what you say when you do that. You
know, well, it was actually what they call a pops concert, where they don't play pure classical music. They play more popular music.
Pretty
and they
cool.
saluted Louis Armstrong, Duke Ellington, George Gershwin, but also Journey. The Rolling Stones,
that's cool.
ABBA,
yeah.
Some other. The Led Zeppelin medley was great.
Very cool.
And so I just said, "Here's what's going on today. I am Rob from the Mike O'Mara Show. Jim Villani,
ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Here he goes." Then you come up on the stage later.
Did you have a tux?
No. It's an outside concert. Okay. So just wear a golf shirt.
What were you wearing?
Actually, no, it wasn't a golf shirt. It was a I guess you call it
a bowling shirt.
A bowling shirt.
What me? Did I say? What did he say?
He said leotard. What? Who put a quarter in you and woke you up? Shut up, Zoltar. Back in your glass box. And so I was there with my mom, and the two kids came. Carrie was working, and we got there at 2 o'clock for a 3 o'clock show, and it was going very well. Especially once I switched to the.
Do they have food there?
There's free ice cream at the end of the concert, but you have
to
stay.
Like an ice cream social. What
it
a great
is exactly.
old American tradition.
And the band sounded great, except it's an orchestra. Don't call it a band. And I tried to, you know, bring a little, like a little information tidbit.
What's your total time commitment on this thing?
I think it was 75 minutes.
So you, but most of it just sitting there and enjoying the band.
Yeah,
right?
I mean,
for the orchestra
for everything. I spoke like maybe a minute before each piece. I told, like, for example, I told the origin of the name Led Zeppelin for the band Led Zeppelin before they went into the medley. And it's one of
what
my
is the origin of the band Led Zeppelin?
Real quickly, in a nutshell, you know the band the Yardbirds, right? And Eric Clapton got his start in the Yardbirds, and they did the song "For Your Love" and "Train Kept a Rollin'."
For your love,
yeah, exactly. And they broke up. They had a lot of personnel changes, and when they broke up, Jimmy Page was a member of the Yardbirds, and he said, "Well, I'd like to keep this band going." And he reformed it, and he was going to call it the New Yardbirds. And his whole thing was he was going to bring in like a super group, all his favorite rock and roll musicians. And the record company said, "Well, form a group if you want, but you can't call it anything Yardbirds because we own that name."
Okay.
And so he stayed with it, and he said, well, I'm going to get a band of all the greatest musicians I know, and we're going to be a great band.
What's your target demographic when you're talking about Zeppelin? Weren't they all like 75?
Most of the people no, you there? Know what? There's, but you know, Mike, you got to think now, when people are 60 and 65, they were
they
rocking
know Led Zeppelin.
When
They're
Zeppelin was happening.
Yeah.
And so, true. I mean, everyone's skewing older, which is why classic rock is such a happening format.
Tell me about it.
So they were talking, and they said, you know, you still put that band together, but if you go with that idea, that's going to go over like a lead balloon. It's just not going to fly. And he took the words lead balloon and changed balloon to another inflatable object.
Oh, my God. I never knew that.
Zeppelin.
See, if I was in that audience, I would love that story. Did you get a reaction
yes.
from that
yeah.
story?
And there was actually...
I mean, that's nothing you couldn't find like in one of those little index card boxes at a classic yeah. rock station.
No, but Google.
But, it's, you know. But, you know, it's nice, especially... When
it's
you,
still interesting, though, right? That he picked that little factoid. I would have liked that.
And I knew that because Rob has told me off mic. Pretty cool.
Yeah, and so you go off with that. You close on a neat fact like that, and you say, and now, ladies and gentlemen, with Rock and Roll, Kashmir, and Stairway to Heaven, here's the Matt Manassas Symphony
how'd
Orchestra.
How'd they do with Rock and Roll?
Rock and Roll, they have a killer drummer. And also,
do they
was,
really?
Yeah,
okay.
And what was so cool.
So they had a regular drum set set up?
A drummer too? And a guy with the timps. So,
okay.
And
cool.
Speaking of rhythm, one of the neatest things I got was I was standing off to the left, stage left, by the electric bass, three stand-up basses and the tuba, because that's where they're placed mm-hmm. in an orchestral setting. So what I heard at times was almost the isolated bass riffs of all these rock records, and it
cool.
sounded really
cool.
So it was a fun
neat.
Place to be.
I see right there I'm approving of your little spiel, because that would be cool that you're telling that little story. You know, but no jokes this year?
One joke that I was proudest of, and I planned a joke, and it got bumped for this joke. And you see, the one thing that I was...
Hey, lady, you must have been something before electricity.
No, and when Jim Villani introduced me, he said, he doesn't call me the host. He says, this is the second time I've done it. He says, here's your DJ for the afternoon. Mm. So that's how I kind of look
oh, see,
at
I
it.
See, I wouldn't like that. I'd like to be called a host.
Well, no,
like, Villani, if I ever do another thing, don't call me a DJ.
Well, you weren't a DJ. You were a featured entertainer. I'm just introducing the records. I'm okay with that.
Oh, you played records,
well,
too?
Well, no, I mean the songs. The songs that they played.
But you're not a DJ.
You're a
talk show host. Come on, raise
yourself.
The bar.
I
would walk
fine.
Up, Villani, you bastard. Don't call him a DJ.
Yeah.
Well,
well, he's dressed like one.
That's
like a big bopper.
That cinches the fact that I'll be there next year when you call him a bastard, Mike. Thank
right.
you
well,
so kindly.
Well, no, but I mean, I you know Jim Villani knows I like him, but don't call me a DJ. I mean, come on.
Now, the thing was, is that for the second year, the Pops
Here's
concert.
Our clown. Here's our clown.
Yeah, you can hear him coming out. Honk, 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 yeah. honk. It was the second consecutive year that the concert is on the same weekend as Manassas Civil War Days. So while we're doing the
Do you
concert,
have some of the reenactors and sweating their crotch
yeah,
sweat
their,
around all
You know,
all
the women in the huge dresses and the
right.
men in their wool uniforms, sweat
right.
streaming down their face, tapping their foot to Journey, you know, and so it's sort of an odd
What was
mix
the rest of Villani's introduction, just out of curiosity?
To me, he
You
said,
know you hung on every word. That's part of the whole reason you do it. Is your
he
ego
said our DJ this afternoon, you know him from the Mike O'Mara Show podcast at MikeO'MaraShow.com. He also hosts Cake and Cookies. And
he gave you a plug for your podcast.
He did. And what was
That's
really
good.
Nice is when I came out, the band played, the brass section played a brief version of Besame Mucho, which is the theme to Cake and Cookies, which shows
you had a theme. He played you on?
Played us in.
Oh,
played
see,
me
that's
in, which
it.
Was really
that,
cool.
You get Rob for life if you do that.
Yeah.
And
if
I mean,
you play Rob on.
When you have
fantastic.
Five trumpets, almost like a Herb Alpert arrangement of Besame
right.
Mucho, I mean, that was awesome. You can't beat that.
Did anybody come up to you? Anybody,
yeah,
any
I got
fans
to,
at the
like
at
five
the
or ten people at the end of it. It was very nice.
That's good, but the DJ thing, right?
Yeah.
Come on.
See, that doesn't bother
and
me, though.
And you're on the radio as well, technically.
And he said that.
Okay.
He did say that.
All right.
But Mark Maron, you know, I mean, he wouldn't want to be called a DJ, you know.
That's
I
true.
Saw him
yeah.
over on the weekend. You know, I always look at him and cry, you know, just like,
yeah.
Could have
been.
I'd love to do two
yeah, but
shows a week.
Been.
But you see,
and
Mike,
he's on TV.
But
he's
Mike,
on TV, too.
Yeah.
He's
absolutely.
On TV and does two podcasts, but he cries, too, because he's
yeah.
the most miserable man in the world.
He's very miserable.
He
he's
is.
Very. He's very funny on Bill Maher this week, though. I give him credit. He it was a pleat in the cape of all podcasters when he went on that show.
It's
so,
good for everybody. A
Bill,
rising
I'm
tide.
Thank you very much. Oh. Yes, very good. Yeah.
During the all-string arrangement of Paint It Black by the Rolling Stones, they start firing weapons from the Civil War recreation about two blocks away. So you're hearing boom, boom. And, you know, and that... It's
really miss that town.
Well, that and also my
town is the worst. And I worked there for multiple years, and I still go back.
The fire trucks.
I owned a business there. How do you think I feel?
Yeah, you know, that's one of the questions my mom had when we were driving. It's just, where did Mike's restaurant used to be? Right over there. But, you know, the crowd, you could watch them jump.
Meet the nicest people in that town. Some of them on AshleyMadison.com.
You know what? People are going to need a code book for today's show.
I have friends that live in Manassas.
Sure.
And they're the kindest people, right?
Yes.
Don't get me wrong. And there are some really good, really good people there.
Do they have cough drops there?
Excuse me. I'm a professional. So I look at them and I know they don't know what they actually have done. I know my heart of hearts, like your neighbor, the nicest people in the world, right?
Wonderful human being. Mm-hmm. My favorite person in Manassas, actually. Richard and Nancy, my favorite couple.
And I know, God bless them, and maybe they're better off for it, that they don't realize what an asshole Manassas is.
It's true.
That's so terrible.
Because we're in
He listens. Richard,
I know.
Oscar didn't mean that.
We were in the Beverly
Hills.
You have
to admit that they live in a nice part of the town. They really do.
Right?
Very nice part.
Right on the
town.
Edge of the best part.
Oscar, okay, stop it.
Everywhere is nice. Right. But, I mean, nice. That's the nicest part of Manassas. That street is the nicest street in Manassas.
It is.
Yes, it is. And I lived on it.
And yesterday, we were in the Beverly Hills of Manassas, right in Old Town Manassas, right by the Visitor's Center. There's the beautiful Harris Pavilion. And it doesn't stop during the symphonic music. Of course, the cannon fire, the gunshots, the tractor going by with people driving, you know, in a trailer. There's ambulances.
We're running out of time, Rob.
Lots of motorcycles.
Of
but
did you finish with suck up?
No. What I finished with is I went up there and I said, I apologize for all the sounds of the Civil War recreation during that last song, but it was actually by design by our classical music orchestra. What you just heard was Pachelbel's Canon.
Okay. Is that a music thing?
Yeah, it's one of the most famous classical pieces ever written, Mike.
Pachelbel's Canon. You should know the canon.
Yeah.
How dare you?
Did that get a laugh when you did that?
It was marginally more successful than it was just now. Yes.
Weird.
Marginally? No, it was. It was good. But you know what? No. It was the old light bulb commercial.
I'll hum it for you.
I can't hum it for you.
Come
it's classical.
On.
Pachelbel's Canon.
Yes, you will know it. I promise you will know it.
Mike, you should know this.
Yeah. Oscar, why don't you hum it?
Why didn't you say the guys with the guns thought they were going to be playing the 1812 Overture?
Thought about it, but I thought this was a better joke.
Manassas, you've been great. I got to go pick up some used tires. Peace out.
That's good. And Oscar, you can host next year.
Is this it?
This is Pachelbel's Canon.
You know it is.
All right. So this is a real mellow song.
The sub-commercial.
But the thing is that they were firing a cannon.
Right.
And it's Pachelbel's Canon.
Oh. Okay. I stand by what I said before. I will take a break. Did you have fun? That's the important thing.
Yeah,
did you have fun?
I had a blast up till just about 30 seconds ago.
Okay, we'll take a break. We'll come back with more fun and more thrills on the Michael Merritt Show. Welcome back to the Michael Merritt Show, brought to you by our 2015 bonus show package. No, we're not.
You're not?
No?
Buy the bonus show package.
Do it. It's fantastic.
Yeah. It's still not too late. It's August. It's not, Mike. It's
oh,
what?
God. You,
what?
No,
I know you get frustrated.
Dies every time.
Well, then you do the commercial
this.
For it. What,
okay.
What am I supposed to say?
How about this? If you haven't.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's Oscar Santana for the 2015 bonus show package.
Try to work in Pachelbel's Canon.
Look, if you haven't had the time to actually order the bonus package, you can still do it. You still get great value for your dollar, and it's one of the best ways to support the program. Do it today.
Please.
Last week's great show.
Thank you. What?
Last week's show was a great one.
That's
really
right.
Well,
so says Zoltar.
Ever since Rob took him over, they've all been good shows. So that's fantastic, you know. Sometimes you shake it up a little bit. It all works out really, really well. But, get yourself the 2015 Bonus Show package and do it. Do it today, everybody.
News.
So in addition to his two Ashley Madison accounts, Josh Duggar was also registered on the dating website OkCupid.
After he was married?
Yeah, I guess
wow,
so.
Wow, good for him.
But he used another guy's picture in his profile, and that guy is suffering for it. This guy's name is Matthew McCarthy, And he's a DJ.
Of course he is.
He may have been chosen because his picture comes up when you do a Google image search for random guy.
Somebody do a Google search for random guy.
McCarthy says he's already lost a DJ gig because a club thought he was part of a sex scandal. He's considering a lawsuit against Josh for defamation of character. I don't know whether I believe all of that, but we'll have to stay tuned and see.
This random guy looks like a douche.
And you know what? Knowing Duggar, I believe, I 100% believe he searched random guy on the internet if he was looking for a random guy.
Hey, guy. For a while there, it seemed like Tracy Morgan was never going to recover from that wreck last year, but he's looking good. He's hosting Saturday Night Live next month, and he just got married. Tracy married his longtime fiance, Megan Wallover, in front of friends and family last night. She told People, quote, "After almost losing Tracy last year, I'm so grateful to finally be married to the love of my life. We've been through so much, and our love is stronger for it." Sources say Tracy walked the aisle without using a cane. I'm rooting for this guy. I used to poke a lot of fun at him. Never liked his comedy that much, but you know what? This is a wonderful survival story. I'm really happy for him. He's 46. Megan is 28. They have a 2-year-old daughter named Maven. And well, made her an honest woman. That's a good thing. Way to go,
good
girlfriend.
Guy,
Tracy.
Good guy.
Let's go.
Really.
For a while. Former NFL wide receiver Chris Carter is in the Hall of Fame. You've seen him. He's an analyst on ESPN.
White guy, right?
What's that?
I'm just kidding.
Stop it. Thank you. But what did he take this morning? I wonder.
I don't know.
It's Monday. I'm happy to be here.
I think he and Pony shared a joint.
Chris Carter apparently is not the best person to be giving advice to young players. A video has surfaced of Carter speaking at an NFL rookie symposium last year, and his message is, if you do the crime, be sure somebody else does the time. He said, quote, and this is his quote, "In case y'all not going to decide to do the right thing, if y'all got a crew, you got to have a fall guy in the crew. Y'all are not going to do the right stuff, so I got to teach y'all how to get around all this stuff, too. If you're going to have a crew, one of those fools got to know he's going to go to jail. We'll get him out." He sounded very serious about
it,
reiterated the point 6 times in the clip, which is less than 2 minutes long. Carter apologized. He tweeted, quote, "Seeing that video has made me realize how wrong I was. I was brought there to educate young people, and instead I gave them very bad advice. Every person should take responsibility for his own actions. I'm sorry, and I truly regret what I said that day." Well, Chris, you're part of the whole culture of the pampered athlete. And,
I know, but
thanks
I've
for
heard,
the apology.
In real That's life, great. I've heard conversations about the fall guy outside of this story.
Yeah,
like
it's
in
a
real
scummy,
life.
It's a crappy, scummy thing to do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the fact is, hey, we'll get him out. Yeah, you get him out, and then he's got a permanent record.
Yeah, but
you
like
douches.
like jokes, like real, right. like legitimate jokes where, I'll give you an example, and I remember it clearly because I was like, is this really? Oh, it's a joke. I was too young, and because we used to hang out with a lot of players, right?
Right,
exactly.
And I remember.
You guys were probably the fall guys.
There was another guy within the crew, and I was like, who's he? And the guy was like, oh, that's my fall guy. And then he says, he'll get 3 years, but at least I was like, it'll be worth his time because he'll be making more money than he's ever made in his life. And I sit there.
Wow.
And I look at him. I was like, does that work for you? I was probably hammered. And he said, he goes, yeah, it's like maybe even it was 5 years. It's more money than I could ever make. And I said, oh, that makes sense. And
so
I
they
away.
Yeah they light them up. That's part of the that's part of the, it. Still
Every,
sucks. It's not the right
excels
thing to
at
do.
Something,
everybody
Oscar.
Wins.
That's right.
Right. By the way, the next time we're on the road, Mac, when you come along, you're flying coach, and you will be doing jail time.
You're the fall guy.
I just thought I'd let you know. You're
Even if nobody does anything wrong, we're just going to put
right.
him in jail.
Absolutely. We're just going to rat him out for something, some horrible crime that he didn't commit. Straight Out of Compton stayed at number one at the box office for the second straight week, earning $26.8 million. Its 2-week total stands at $111.5 million. The new Mission Impossible took second place with $11.7 million. Sinister 2. Does anybody know what the hell that is?
I have no idea what Sinister 2
is. Movie?
That debuted in, I think so. I think it's a kids' movie, maybe animated. Debuted in third with $10.6 million.
Oh, no, it is not. It's a horror film.
A horror film. It has
a terrifying movie poster.
Oh, well. Oh, you know the one that I want to see that I saw a trailer for? I don't know even if it's coming out this year. Witch. I think that's what it's called. Which? And it looks fantastic. A horror movie. Google that. That's going to be a very scary movie.
Very cool.
Millions of Americans are currently being exposed due to the Ashley Madison data dump, and someone was brave enough to comb through the data to find out which states spent the most time on Ashley Madison accounts. Reddit user JPopham91 went through all the transaction data and compared it to population figures from the census.gov to figure out which states spent the most money on signing up to have an affair. Per capita, they put the results together. Alabama at the very top by a landslide. The reason we're not skewering that state for being number one in Ashley Madison accounts is because, as many Reddit users pointed out, if people used fake names, addresses, they more than likely chose Alabama as their state out of default because it's the first one listed in the drop-down box.
Yeah.
But all the other info about the top 10 states is probably more legit. Here are your top 10 minus Alabama most unfaithful states according to this data. Number one, Colorado.
Whoa.
Number two, the District of Columbia.
Oscar.
Damn it.
Number three, New Jersey. Number four, Connecticut. Number five, Arkansas. Six, Massachusetts. Seven, New York. Eight, New Hampshire.
Mm.
Nine, Virginia.
Yes.
And 10, Maryland.
Mm.
D.C., Virginia, and Maryland, all represented
three
on the top
together,
10.
Yeah. Number one.
There you go. So which state spent the least amount of time and money on the same website that Josh Duggar used to cheat on his wife? Let's hear it for the most faithful states in America, ladies and gentlemen. Here we go. Number 10, Louisiana. Number 9, Montana. Number 8, New Mexico. Number 7, Kentucky. Number 6, Iowa. Number 5, South Dakota. Number 4, Maine.
Ah.
Number 3, Idaho. Number 2, Mississippi. And number 1, West Virginia. Yes, sir.
Do you notice a preponderance of states that probably don't have a lot of computers?
Mm-hmm. I know.
I can't figure out this site.
A little something-something for you all. Officers in the Indian city of Rajura detained a parrot for allegedly cursing at an 85-year-old woman. The parrot's name is Harial.
Of course.
Sounds like something out of a Disney movie, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And he was reportedly trained for 2 years in the finer points of obscenity by his owner, Suresh Sakharkar, for the sole purpose of abusing his 85-year-old stepmother, Janabai. On seeing me, the parrot uses bad language and foul words. That's why I've complained thrice in the past 2 years. That's what the woman claimed. She claimed her stepson trained the parrot to curse at her because of an ongoing land dispute between the families. Officers weren't exactly able to question the parrot, but they did want to see if the bird would let the F-bombs fly in police custody. We watched the parrot carefully, but it did not utter a word at the police station, according to a spokesman. Despite the lack of proof, officials decided the woman harassed mental condition was enough reason to remove the allegedly foul-mouthed parrot from its owner and hand him over to forestry officials. Look for the parrot next year in part 3 of the Best Exotic Marigold F***ing Hotel.
Hey!
Thank you. Yeah, a little break there. All right, we'll take a break. Come back with a very abbreviated audio vault with Rob Spiewak right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hey, everybody, it's Kevin McCarthy here, geeking out. Let me tell you all about Cake and Cookies.
Wow, Rob Spiewak's on that show.
Wait, who?
Rob Spiewak.
I have no idea who that person is.
Yeah.
What I do is when I download the podcast, I edit all the cake parts out, and I just listen to the cookie part. So big ups to Cake. I love Cake.
For more information, visit morebroadcasting.com.
Cake and Cookies, the podcast that has nothing to do with cake or cookies. It's Rob and Kate.
Have you ever talked about cake or cookies on the Cake and Cookies podcast?
We have determined that I am cake and she is cookies. We know that.
Never like one of your food discussions as far
as
cookies.
Well, one
or
time
cake?
We got to it. I think we discussed our favorite cakes and our favorite cookies
there
early on. Yeah,
that's those.
Do you know that Katie hates cake?
Really?
She won't eat it. Says it's disgusting.
She likes booze.
Yes,
welcome
she does.
Back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Don't let the summertime temperatures fool you. Fall's right around the corner, and that means back to school time. Kids hate it. There are a lot of them this week going back to school, certainly more in the next couple of weeks. Mom and Dad are tickled pink because it's easy to stock up on all your school time essentials. People through the Mike O'Mara Show website have been doing this on Amazon for years.
Yes.
And you get incredible deals, but you eliminate the hassle. Nobody wants to really go out and get school supplies. It's a pain, so use Amazon. They've got everything. Books, supplies. supplies, lunch boxes, clothes, shoes. Anytime you purchase something through our Amazon link, we get a tiny percentage. So if you're shopping Amazon anyway, please shop in a way that best helps you out, Rob Spiewak.
Something huge. I got this in my email today. Amazon is selling textbooks. Use textbooks. You can save 90%. E-textbooks, 80%. Rent a textbook at 80% off. New textbooks, 40% off. So don't go through the lines at the bookstore.
I did that for my master's program.
Buy your textbooks through Amazon.
Yeah.
Go to MikeOmaraShow.com/Amazon or click the Amazon button on our website or use the TMOS app and click on the shopping cart. Then shop like you normally would. It's that simple. Thanks, cousins!
Cousins!
Let's open up the audio vault for Monday, August 24, 2015, Rob Spiewak.
Mike, we share so many things, but one of the things we certainly do share is we're both former cat owners.
Yes.
And cats, I know.
Meow.
Cats hate getting baths. Have you ever had to give a cat a bath?
Oh, my tongue. I couldn't get the hair off it for weeks.
You see that? Why he's the best, ladies and gentlemen. That's why he's the best. No, but if you actually do a soap and water bath, a cat goes crazy. This is
That's why I use the washing machine.
This was a gentle cycle, I hope.
Gentle cycle, yes.
This was a trending YouTube video over the weekend. A cat getting a bath seems to say no more. He doesn't want any more bath.
No more. No more.
No more.
No more. Just a little bit more.
No more.
Oh, wow, it seems like a big one.
A little bit.
No more.
Ooh. This is part of a horror movie.
Yeah.
It is creepy. There's a creepiness to it, isn't there?
I listened to it three times. And I realized, you know, I'm watching it because it's upsetting. It's very upsetting.
It is.
Talking
it's weird.
Cat.
It's weird. It's a weird vibe.
So don't. So that's one thing.
I get goosebumps in the bad way.
In the bad way.
You're like, oh.
Did you see over the weekend who was trending at 9% in the Democratic polls in North Carolina? I'm sorry, the Republican polls in North Carolina.
Now, why do I think we created this?
In a way, I think we have to have had a part of it.
I swear to God, we did.
Oh, I don't know anything about this.
Oh, yeah.
We did a bit. Don and I did a bit way, way, way. I mean, way back. About Rick D's nuts.
Exactly. Exactly.
Did we not?
And what happens is they seem to think that a kid, about a 15-year-old kid in Iowa, put this as a candidate, D's nuts.
As a national candidate?
D's nuts. And as a real candidate.
He was polling on Friday at 9% in North Carolina. And you think that the news didn't run with it? Check out this montage.
First name is D's, last name, Nuts.
D's 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 Nuts.
And it's even funnier if you see the graphic that spells out his name, D's Nuts, and
D's
says
Nuts.
9%.
And he endorsed Bernie Sanders, didn't
he? Yes, he did.
That's so cool.
So good job. Good on you, 9-year-old or 15-year-old that did that. Big news on the very cute Jimmy Fallon show. Michael McDonald reunited with the Doobie Brothers, Mike, and he's sounding more and more like you and me being Michael McDonald.
So painful to watch him sing.
It is. It really
is. He's killing himself when he's singing.
But
can't argue with that jam, though, man.
He does look good. After he sang the song, three kids sat on his lap and told him what they wanted for Christmas.
Michael McDonald.
Big white beard. Do you remember a couple weeks ago we had the YouTuber? He was a pro-family guy that snuck in and stole his wife's pee and found out she was pregnant and surprised her, right?
Okay.
I said, when asked to describe him, I said, I don't know. He just looks creepy.
And you were...
Creepy dude.
Yeah.
You were... Because every time one of these videos come out, you can't help but be like, I don't know if this is real or set up.
Yeah, you don't know. And it's usually not. And it's usually somebody that's a little, that's creeping, that's just a little sneaky.
He's a professional YouTuber. And he had a bad weekend because... Mm. He was on the Ashley Madison Data Dump, and he issued this apology.
Hey, guys. As you may have seen, my name has been associated with an Ashley Madison account. I did make the account. I made the account 2 years ago. I brought this to my church at the time when I first started the church that I'm at now. This has been brought to my discipleship partner.
He's an idiot.
This was brought to my wife's attention. She has forgiven me for this mistake that I made in opening the account. I've sought forgiveness to God, and he's forgiven me. So I've been completely cleansed of this sin.
Oh, it's good news, then. It's good for him. He's been cleansed of the sin.
You think God runs that view count on your little ticker?
and my
I'm
cheese.
In the editing bay right now trying to teach myself how to do these viral videos. Trust me, I'm going to be
so
on
you'll
a
be ready.
Weekly rant.
You'll be ready for your apology?
I'll be ready for my apology.
And good news, you're just talking about motion pictures. Coming soon, movies from the website BuzzFeed.
BuzzFeed just announced it's going to start making movies. Did you know that? That's true. BuzzFeed is going to get into the movie business. So make sure to check out next summer's blockbuster, The Avengers versus 14 Cats That Look Like Hitler. That's a movie that was on.
Thank you. That is your Magic Audio Vault. Have a great Monday, everybody.
That's it. Another Mike O'Mara Show come and gone. Be sure to join us again for more fun and more thrills at MikeO'MaraShow.com. If you want to correspond with the Mike O'Mara Show with a letter or package, send it to TMOS, Box 2796, Leesburg, Virginia, 20177. To get your message or birthday request into the Wednesday mailbag, do it tonight.
Please
do it tonight so he doesn't have to do them all on Tuesday night. That's Rob with two B's at MikeO'MaraShow.com. And remember, we rely on your word of mouth, whether you're buying the audiobook, whether you're getting the bonus content, or whether you're using our Amazon page. Share it with all your Mike O'Mara Show fans, and please help us out. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Mike O'Mara inviting you to join us again for another episode of the Mike O'Mara Show. Bye-bye, everybody.
So long.
Ciao, ciao.
Wait, don't go. I need to tell you that MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon is perfect for all your online shopping needs. Shop the best way. Shop Amazon. And please go through our website, always open at MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon.
Hey!
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.